A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the Upswing. Happy Summerfest. Summerfest continues. We're all about community on the show, and there's no better way to build community than through commerce. We want to make our communities just a little bit better each and every day. Building community is what business is all about. At the heart of it, you want to find that intersection, right? You want to find that magic, and communities want business. Businesses need community in sales, right? They need customers. And to create that economic impact, you got to put it all together to really create something that people want. And that's what Summerfest is about. Sure, it's about the music. It's about the dining. It's about hanging out. It's about seeing everyone you know at the lakefront. But a big driver is shopping at Summerfest. And I got to say kudos to the Summerfest team for really upping their game in the last several years on their own branded merchandise. You know, that's what you want. You want those tour shirts, right? Those shirts that list every act. When you go to a music festival, you want that. And Dan Elias and the Specialized Marketing Group, who are one of the main vendors for Summerfest that creates all the branded Summerfest merchandise, they do a really good job with keeping it fresh and keeping it unique. So make sure you stop at the Summerfest store this year. There's several of them on the grounds. You're going to see some really cool stuff, some really good-looking T-shirts. I saw a couple sweatshirts that I'm going to have to buy as well when I go back. Speaking of branded merchandise, new in the market. Have you heard this? Have you seen this? You haven't seen it yet because it's going to debut next week. But Quick Trip announced this week in its Facebook group that it's going to offer Quick Trip merch at racks within 33 of its stores. You know, we're talking T-shirts, we're talking stickers, we're talking lanyards and hats. I don't know. I'd wear a Quick Trip T-shirt. But I don't know. I haven't seen the pricing on them yet, but they're pretty simple. And, you know, the racks that at least I saw in the Facebook group look really good. So beginning very soon, you can get Quick Trip merchandise at 33 locations throughout Wisconsin and Minnesota. So put that on your list for sure. But in terms of Summerfest, you got 100 vendors on the ground showcasing items. You got clothing, you got jewelry, you got artwork, decor, whatever it is. You got that South Market. You have the Artesian Makers Market that's located in the tent right by the Briggs & Stratton big backyard. You have the Shop Local Market, and then you have a bunch of additional vendors as you walk along the lake. So there's a lot of opportunities. And today on the show, we curated a really good list, a good variety of vendors who are selling at Summerfest. And we're going to explore kind of the why. We're going to dive into some of the how in terms of the logistics of getting the stuff to the lakefront, what the marketing looks like what impulse buys look like, how the vendors deal with maybe the weather, maybe how they deal with customers, how they get data out of Summerfest. We're going to tackle it all in terms of what it looks like and what it feels like to sell at the Summerfest ground. Summerfest is a village. It takes a community to grow it. That's on today's show. We'll be right back. I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing, and we are proudly presented by Horicon Bank.
Now it's time for the
two, count 'em, two.
Two up on the Upswing.
Two up, two things in the business world that I'm seeing that you need to know about today. Northwestern Mutual, a great community partner. Northwestern Mutual, through its foundation last week, deepened its commitment to high quality education and to growing student achievement in the area. They pledged $4.5 million to support 70 local schools and nonprofits. And when you look at kind of the aggregate total of the investment from Northwestern Mutual's commitment to advancing education in the city, it's now over $71 million in the last 30 years. So it's great to see a community partner like Northwestern Mutual providing that support. And they really look into the lens of academics, mental health, and family engagement when they're looking where to put those educational dollars. Second up, maybe you're having a backyard barbecue today or you're looking forward to the 4th of July weekend. Jolly Good BBQ. So just in time for the 4th of July holiday, you got these two kind of iconic flavors in Wisconsin. PS Seasonings and Jolly Good Soda have teamed together to create Mugshot Root Beer BBQ Sauce. It's kind of this nostalgic take on the backyard barbecue. It's a one-of-a-kind sauce that marries the sweetness of that Jolly Good Root Beer. By the way, I pulled some data. Jolly Good Root Beer in a 12-ounce can has 43 grams of sugar. Just putting it out there. It's not a ton of sugar, but, you know, be mindful of the sugar there. But you blend Jolly Good Root Beer with PS Seasonings, and you got a new barbecue sauce. I like these creative collaborations when it comes to creating new products. So kudos to PS Seasonings and Jolly Good Soda. Personally, I kind of like the Saz's barbecue sauce. How can't you? But if you're going to go national and you're kind of walking down your favorite aisle at the grocery store, Stubbs. Stubbs for me is that kind of that barbecue sauce that stands out. It has like that peppery flavor, a little mustard flavor, and it's, I don't know, it just has that perfect blend for me. So I'm going to try the Mugshot Root Beer barbecue sauce for sure, but my loyalty often is to Saz's and Stubbs. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. It is Summerfest all the time here on The Upswing. We've curated a really nice variety of vendors who sell and showcase on the Summerfest grounds right on our beautiful lakefront. And the first up in this Summerfest showcase is May Rose from May Rose Naturally Rooted. May, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to spend a little bit of it with us.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us about the inspiration behind your business and kind of your personal journey in skincare. How does it influence what you make and sell, not only at Summerfest, but you're also at the Sherman Phoenix, correct?
Correct. Yes, correct. All right. So May Rose started out of just, you know, it was born out of necessity and love. So my own challenges and struggle with skincare.
Okay.
So I've always struggled with eczema all my life.
Okay.
And wanted to develop something that was natural, that was clean, that was not full of all the fluff and synthetic things that you get from those big brand stores.
Yeah.
And I wanted it to kind of deal with the things that was going on with my skin and with my hair. Mm. So I also have alopecia, and so wanted to create something for that as well. And it just kind of grew from there. Started doing a lot of research on just plant-based remedies.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes you look at the skincare products and you look at all the ingredients. They're hard to produce, hard to pronounce, much less know exactly what's in them.
Exactly.
So to take that on from a business standpoint, it had to have been a lot of research in terms of making and producing. What was that process and journey like?
Yeah. So, I started small. Initially, I started with two products specifically.
Okay.
Specifically to focus on my skincare, the eczema. And then the next one was hair care. So making sure I only researched ingredients that helped with your hair follicle, that helped soften your hair, as well as nourish your skin and what is going to bring moisture to my skin. So those are kind of the starting points with that journey.
All right. So when you're selling at Summerfest and you have people walking past your booth, what's that sales strategy look like for you? Do you kind of wait for people to come up to you and inquire and ask questions? Or what's the art of really educating, especially with your product, because it is really about education. And yes, ultimately, then you want people to buy. What does that look like from your lens?
Yeah. So in my mind, Summerfest is about energy and having a presence. I strive to make my booth just so inviting. So it's very pink and rosy. If you walk past it, you cannot miss it.
Where are you located?
So I'm located in a Shop Local Market towards the Generac stage.
Yeah, okay.
Right in front of that. Yeah. And so I also offer every single person that walks in samples. I want them to have the whole sensory experience. I want them to be able to smell it, to be able to touch it, so they'll know what it feels like on your skin, as well as what it smells like, because essential oils may not vibe with everybody's skin.
So. Yeah, that's true. And you got people that are kind of looking for a little break, maybe from the food and drink and the music, and they want to get that up close and personal feel. So having them sample the product, then you're able, maybe they're not going to buy right away, but are you capturing email addresses or what else are you doing to kind of create that customer journey?
Capturing email addresses, also allowing them to sit in there and just listen to my story. I feel like people understand people, and when you have something that they can connect with, that makes a big difference. And so I have a lounge kind of set up in there as well. Okay. I got some chairs. And then we just kind of sit and talk about what, you know, what skin challenges they're going through and what products I have that can help alleviate that.
Very good. As you look to the future of your company and your brand for May Rose Naturally Rooted, what are other new products that you want to extend into, collaborations, other community initiatives, and are you selling at other festivals beyond Summerfest then?
Oh, yes. Well, so we have a calendar booked throughout the end of the year.
Okay.
So my with my roles, my values is empowerment and education.
Okay.
And so my future goal is to be able to have a standalone brick and mortar where I can make the products as well as educate others how to make the products and educate others on the different herbs and things that are out there that can help with your skincare. I also hope to collaborate with an herbalist, with a dermatologist, and with local natural hair care stylist also, so they can utilize the products as well and even learn about the herbs that can help hair as well.
Yeah, we're talking with May Rose of May Rose Naturally Rooted, a vendor at Summerfest and much more this year. So as you look at the kind of the skincare space, May, I mean, those struggling with eczema, what's some general advice? Obviously, other than using your product, give us that advice above and beyond for healthier hair. And then what's that skincare routine? What should it look like?
Okay. You know, I always tell everyone, keep it simple. Often when we're struggling with eczema or things related to our hair, we often think that we need multiple products to solve the problem. Mm-hmm. We do not. When I used to go to the dermatologist myself, sometimes they'll leave out and tell me, just go get some Vaseline or just go put some aloe vera on it. It's something could be just that simple. My recommendation is keep it simple and listen to what your skin is saying. Your skin will tell you whether or not it likes a product or not. Always do a patch test and try to avoid a lot of synthetic fluff that comes, again, in a lot of the products that you get from these big brand stores.
Yeah. Looking at your business startup journey, if you will, is there a piece of advice that you wish you would have received early on that you're thinking, oh, my gosh? Or have you just learned throughout the way? I mean, we all fail with this and learn with that. Like, what's that piece of advice that you really wish you would have?
So I would say it's both. I've failed and learned and, you know, through different mistakes. But I will say often what holds a lot of people back is just that hesitation to start and not having the right things in place. And I would say just jump out there and do it and look for a team to surround yourself with who's also successful in business that can help guide you along the way. The other thing is the first to not come out with 13 different products at one time. Maybe it's just one product that you have to simplify and perfect in order to gain that following. So just maybe starting small is the key.
That's really good. You know, finding that laser focus and just honing in sometimes is a really good strategy because, you know, you can get pulled in so many different directions.
That's right.
In terms of the setup and the takedown regularly at Summerfest, how do you deal with that?
A team.
Yeah, good,
good. Other vendors have been so helpful.
It takes a village to raise a business
That's
as well,
right.
doesn't
that
it?
So true.
Well, congratulations on all your success. All the best for the next couple weekends of Summerfest.
Yes.
May Rose from May Rose Naturally Rooted. I appreciate your time, and we'll see you again. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are running through Summerfest, looking at a bunch of the different vendors who are selling their various wares at the festival this year. Luca Coviello is one of the owners of Howdy Hat Bar. Luca, appreciate you taking some time out of your day to spend it with us.
Of course, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
So tell us about Howdy Hat Bar and just how you got started. You started in 2024, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Where'd the idea come from?
Well, my wife's a genius.
That's always good to say.
But that, yes, it is. But that aside, we went to a similar concept out west in Arizona. And, you know, long story short, it was a very long process. It wasn't super, like, we weren't super involved in it. Mm-hmm. By the time we picked our patches and stuff and got called up, it was basically designed for us. So, yeah, it was like 2 hours and like $250 later for two hats. And it was at that point she was like, I feel like we could do this for a lot cheaper and a lot quicker.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we recently got married. We wanted to have that for our guests at the wedding. You know, no one needs another koozie or another
good curated customer base right there to do some testing on.
And then, so we got all the stuff and we just started going. So yeah, last year, Harley Fest was our first event. Gracie was like, I'll be happy if we sell three hats. Sold out the first night.
Nice.
The place we were at, us being there brought them a lot of business. So they asked us to come back, sold out again. And we're like, all right, let's do this thing.
So you're mainly doing pop-ups and festivals. What is the magnitude of being at the world's largest music festival like Summerfest mean to you?
I mean, it's a lot. We know we are local Milwaukee through and through. We love the East Side. We know that a lot of people are coming from out of town. So it's a good opportunity to get our brand out there, you know, expanded. And I mean, Summerfest has been so helpful. BMO has been so helpful. Mm-hmm. We've been partners with them. And just the support and, yeah, being on the large scale, it's a lot of work. Yeah. But, you know, I think it'll pay off.
When you look at kind of how you source and where you buy from, have some of the tariff concerns or supply chain affected how you've been able to buy your product?
Yeah, that's a fair question. Luckily, from the jump, we have partnered with a lot of American brands.
Okay.
And been trying to get as much local as possible, and if not, just American made.
Okay.
But for the small percentage that we do, it's had a direct impact for sure.
We're talking with Luca Coviello from Howdy Hat Bar, one of the wonderful vendors, more than 100 vendors on the grounds each and every day at Summerfest. So what do people look for in hats today? And to be honest, you got to tell me, do some people, like, you have people walk up to you and they put on a hat. Do you tell them, like, no, that one just does not look good on you?
I don't think I've ever seen anyone in a hat and been like, that looks bad on you. You look bad in a hat.
All right.
You know, not all hats are created equally. I love Jocelyn's old school Milwaukee Brewers, like, flat brim hat over here, rocking it. I love it. And, you know, really shows people's personalities, like, you know. But I think people are looking for good quality, you know. We use Auto brand trucker hats, and in my opinion, that's like the cream of the crop there.
Yeah. High-end, high quality.
Worth
the price, for
worth
sure.
Worth the price. We know, we believe it'll stand the test of time.
Yeah.
And that's what we want people. We want people to wear their hats all the time.
Yeah.
Take them to the lake, get them dirty, and, you know.
So what do you find in terms of customization and personalization options in the hat world? Is it all about the look and feel? Is it about how you wear the brim? Like, how do you act as a hat consultant for each and every one of your customers that come up to you?
Sure, yeah. And those are some of the things.
Yeah.
I think for us at Howdy Hat Bar, when you come to our booth, it is a completely personalized, customized experience from the start. You know, we get to know you a little bit. We get to know your name and some things you like, and it's full range for you. We have thousands of patches to choose from, which it can be a little overwhelming, but, like, you know, you're going to gravitate to what you like, your personality, your personal style, you know, what you like in fashion, all those things. And it's you know, I love hats. I've always worn hats.
Mm-hmm.
And I could go to, you know, a Bucks game or a Brewers game and get, you know, a dime a dozen hat. And I have plenty of those. I love them. But a lot of other people have that hat. You come to Howdy, it's completely yours.
Yeah. Are you finding it at Summerfest with the fest goer? Are they looking for the music-based hat, or are they just looking for something to cover their head and kind of go about their day?
That's a good question. We have some music themed patches to choose from, but I think they're just looking to make their own customized hat.
Yeah.
Like, it could be anything. You could have your puppy dog on there. You could have an alien. You know, whatever your vibe is. That's what you're going to get.
It's all about individual and personal style. That
absolutely
drives it,
Jeff.
For sure. So when you kind of step back after the festival and you look at maybe the sales receipts and the data you've received, what do you hope to learn from a business standpoint vending at Summerfest this year?
I think specifically for Summerfest, yeah, kind of some of the trends that people are into. Mm-hmm. As we know, fashion kind of ebbs and flows of what's hot and what's not. But yeah, I think just seeing what sold, what people were into. And we do track that a bit, but again, it's such a personalized experience that I can just see that. I'll know that at the end, like, hey, this people weren't really feeling this color hat. You know, we didn't really sell a ton of those, or, you know, we still have this one patch. I don't even think anyone touched that. Like, so kind of seeing the trends, and just, yeah, I mean, growing more with our people in our community.
And you're in the Summerfest stores throughout the grounds. Are you online then post Summerfest?
Post-Summerfest, yes, online. Hopefully, we've been super busy. We do have a website. We're just basically waiting to press go ahead on that.
All right.
But yeah, we're super excited to be partnered with Summerfest as their local collab. And yeah, go to the stores, check them out. They're all individual, all one of a kind. No two are the same.
Very good. Luca, congratulations to you and Gracie on the great business. We'll see you on the grounds.
Thank you, Jeff.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Summerfest's economic impact goes far beyond the music and the food and the beverage. That's all pretty important for sure. But the bustling marketplaces really support small businesses and generate millions in revenue, not only for greater Milwaukee, but for the entire region. And, you know, from my wonderful, passionate civic community heart, I love to see retailers get involved with Summerfest. Michelle Ingenberger and Liz Kiesling are the owners of Bandit MKE on Milwaukee's beautiful Brady Street. Appreciate you taking some time to spend with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So, what does it mean to be a part of the world's largest music festival? You have a great location on a historic street, Brady Street, but to transfer that business into Summerfest, what does that look like for you?
So we're so excited to be a part of just the vibe of Summerfest.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing to meet people from all over the world. People travel to Milwaukee, our great city that we love, and then people who maybe live a half a mile away that have never been to Bandit or Brady Street before.
Mm-hmm.
And we can just kind of, like, you know, do our song and dance, talk about how much we love vintage, how much we love Milwaukee, and get people down to Brady Street.
What was the what was the impetus to get into the vintage clothing space? Like, where did the idea come from? Obviously, I think you're very on trend with how people are shopping these days. But what made you think, like, all right, this is the perfect opportunity for this market?
I think that both of us have always shopped vintage. I've been doing it since high school and wearing vintage clothes, just because I wanted to set myself apart. And kept doing it since then. And when you find those gems, it's exciting.
Yeah.
And, like, you're out in the world and you find this piece and it doesn't fit you. You're never going to wear it, but you can't just leave it there. And then you've got, like, two extra closets full of stuff. It's like, it's time to start a store.
We had to sell it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in terms of the goals, when you approach, hey, what festival should we be a part of? What pop-up should we do beyond your brick and mortar? How do you look at success from a business lens?
So we've been eyeing Summerfest for a really long time, but it was just kind of, it always felt out of reach. And then we heard about the small business grant and we're like, let's give it a shot. Let's see what happens. And the idea that we can go to Summerfest and focus all of our energy on connecting with people who love vintage instead of like the hustle to sell has made it just the most incredible experience. Like no other market we've ever done can compare because the pressure is gone. We can just be ourselves, be relaxed and like enjoy the vibe.
The time there. Yeah.
Yeah. And it kind of, you know, it's kind of the ultimate networking, right? I mean, you're not only learning from the customers, but you're learning from the other vendors in terms of what works and what doesn't. That's got to be amazing.
Yeah. And I'm not sure... I'm not really sure if a lot of people have ever sold vintage clothes at Summerfest before us. I don't really know the history on it, but I can see people walk in to our booth and see all the really rare shirts that we have hung up on the wall in the tent, and it brings them in. And they're like, oh my gosh, I went to that show in 1987, or they want to tell us about the shows that they went to, curious if we have them. We brought
and
our
the
museum
old concert
pieces.
T-shirt vintage style. It has to be like that is exactly what the Summerfest customer is looking for.
Yep.
And people who are like, let me see that Grateful Dead T-shirt from 1994 because I think I was there, but I don't remember.
Yeah. Michelle and Liz are the owners of Bandit MKE. So how do you curate and source your inventory? And what are some of the challenges that come with that?
Well, we buy in the store. So you can bring in your things for us to sort through, and then we offer cash on spot or cash.
Are there certain times when you do that for customers,
available
anytime?
Appointments in the near future. Okay. Yeah. But otherwise, we are in people's attics, in basements, sourcing all the good stuff.
And really the challenge is what to do with all the great stuff. There's so much great vintage in this part of the world. Like, you go to the coasts, you go to Europe even, and it's like people are clamoring for vintage. But in Milwaukee and Chicago and the Midwest, people saved all their stuff.
Wow. That's interesting. Why is that? We're just like honest, wonderful people that
you have
are
a
just
big,
no lack of pretense
and
we hold
attic,
on to stuff.
A finished basement, and you're like, I can't get rid of this.
Basements are probably, that's probably
keep,
a good
things
point.
Things keep here, too, I think.
It's not moldy and mildewy, lasts forever, and we come and find it.
Yeah. How has sustainability and inclusivity played into your brand?
So it's the name of the game, right? Yeah. Like everything we source in the store is secondhand. It's keeping stuff out of landfills, keeping it in the economic cycle. And then people can come to our store and get paid for bringing us cool vintage, too. So it's kind of a two-way street that way. Mm-hmm. And we kind of try to source stuff for everybody and everybody. Yeah. So no matter what you look like, no matter what you're into, if you want to explore a new style of clothing, come to Bandit, try stuff on, put it on your body, see how it looks.
From the beginning, we wanted to create a safe space for everyone to come in and try on. Maybe they've never tried a dress on before. Like, we've on purpose made that safe space for everyone.
Yeah. When you look at a target customer, you say open to everyone for sure. But how does your product mix maybe compare to the next resale shop? And how do you differentiate and stand out in a marketplace that's, you know, it's crowded, right?
Mm-hmm. I think we trend a little more casual than, like, if you think about, like, your typical vintage store. Maybe it's, like, things from the 50s or really fancy dresses that you're kind of nervous about trying on. Hmm. For us, it's, like, come in, touch the clothes, try it on. Sure, we've got, in our Summerfest booth, maybe we've got a $300 vintage band tee, but, like, touch it.
Yeah.
Try it on. Take a look. This is a museum. Right. Like, interact.
Experience it. Yeah, it's Summerfest. Totally. Have fun. That's right. It's Brady Street. Have fun.
That's right.
So I'm going to ask both of you, what's your favorite thing about Summerfest? Above and beyond, you know, your store.
My favorite has been hearing everybody's stories when they come into our booth, and it sparks their memories of their favorite shows, their favorite bands. They talk about it and just, you know, learning their experiences, I guess.
Yeah. My favorite thing has been seeing Bandit clothes on the big screen on the headliner main stage. Sold a couple t-shirts to Artemis on Saturday, and he wore it to perform, and like all the girlies taking photos with him, like he was wearing one of our shirts.
Yep. Nice.
So it was amazing.
He bought a vintage 1997 Sheryl Crow tour t-shirt and then wore it on stage that night.
All right. That is marketing genius right there. That's
cool.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Michelle and Liz from Bandit MKE, appreciate your time. All the best for the rest of the run of Summerfest.
We can't wait. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Upswing Summerfest. The festival's vendor and merchandise, the ecosystem supports hundreds of small businesses and seasonal jobs each and every year. It's exciting to talk to a really good variety of the vendors that are down at the lakefront. This year, one of those marquee vendors is Unfinished Legacy. Gene Tate is the manager at Unfinished Legacy. Gene, appreciate you taking time today.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you.
Of course. So tell us about the brand. You know, I know some of the backstory, but I want to hear about the origin of Unfinished Legacy.
The origin of Unfinished Legacy, man. Well, it started off as an idea, you know, to our founder, Brema. He's actually calling me right now. I told you I have an interview.
Come on.
It's for us. But now, yeah, about, I think, 20, you know, he migrated from Africa, you know, born in Sudan, raised in Kenya, migrated mm-hmm. over to the States. And he was impacted by, you know, street culture of graffiti and skateboarding. Me and him had like-minded kind of interests, and we've been working together ever since, you know.
Yeah.
So he was inspired by the word legacy, something that he used with his art. And during an internship, someone used the word unfinished to describe themselves. And those two words kind of tangled around his mind until he came up with Unfinished Legacy.
Taking an idea from concept, I mean, really from a basement screen printing press.
Absolutely.
To a retail store. I mean, that takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
Like, what were some of the pivotal moments throughout, I mean, your first 12 years?
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, I think we're going to make this thing happen.
Right, yeah. I mean, before we even had a website, we were just creating community, you know? We were like, how do skateboarders and, like, graffiti artists come together and spend their time in a productive way, you know? So we had a studio on the south side of Milwaukee. We would just do things there. Creators would come around. And that was an era of Unfinished Legacy. Then there's the era of kind of like the pandemic, right, where everybody's inside and social media is buzzing and bubbling. And we had to figure out how are we going to transition from a community thing to a worldwide thing that everybody can see on social media. Brema started showcasing himself screen printing, which wasn't a popular thing at the time, but people took a liking to that. And that's when we launched our website, you know.
Yeah.
People supported that. We also, excuse me, found purpose. During some of the riots, you know, the George Floyd riots that were happening, we wanted to give, you know, be a part of the community. Civic engagement is something that's big for us, having a, you know, intention behind what you're doing.
Yeah.
So we gave out some t-shirts and, you know, did a fundraiser, and we donated that to the nonprofit organization True School that we came from, you know, since then we've always just been moving with purpose.
Yeah. So, and you've collaborated with a lot of big names locally and nationally, like you said. I mean, you work with the Bucks, you work with Muhammad Ali's estate. And now, you know, you're featured at Summerfest with a special collection there. What do all these mean in terms of just growing the brand and then where you want to take it all?
All that stuff, it kind of aligns with, you know, the purpose of the brand. So when you think Unfinished Legacy, like, that's such a strong name, you know?
Yeah.
We like to pay homage to the people who came before us. And I think when you think of cycles of life and, you know, everything, you know, from the end to the beginning, you gotta know where you came from in order to know where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we keep in our thesis, you know, in our morals as a company.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're trying to inspire the next generation the same way we were inspired before. So
what are some of those strategies that you use to grow the community that you're building? I mean, obviously being a part of events like Summerfest, but talk to us, you know, give us some insight into the day-to-day business and how you grow it. Because ultimately, you got to sell stuff. You got a great brand. You got a great look. You got a great feel. But it's ultimately about the sales, right? How do you do that every day?
We honestly, since we come from such a creative background, you know, and as we've been growing into this, you know, we've had our flagship store in the Third Ward for 2 years. On July 8th, it's Unfinished Legacy Day. We have to shift from just thinking of creative ideas to being a lot more strategic and you know, with analytics. We look at our analytics from the past, see what works.
Yeah.
And then that's how we kind of project into the future.
Yeah.
So we're actually trying to figure out every day what demographic's buying from us and what demographic we're targeting, how we can meet in the middle, how we can reach more people, you know, through partnerships with Summerfest, with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
Things that people don't think that Unfinished Legacy or a streetwear brand, you know, would usually do. We try to, like, hit them in those spots, you know.
We're talking with Gene Tate from Unfinished Legacy. A vendor, a marquee vendor at Summerfest this year. So, Gene, when you're looking at pricing, you know, and hey, you can buy a T-shirt for $5, you can buy a T-shirt for 205.
You can get a free t-shirt.
Right? You can get a free t-shirt. That's right. You know, David Gruber's at Summerfest, right?
Shout out to
He's going to get you the free t-shirt. But how do you set those pricing?
So for us, we're not huge on like on the back end. You know, our margin is everything with any business.
Right.
We're kids who came from Milwaukee too. You know, we remember skating past the same location that we have now, you know, yeah. in Third Ward, and seeing prices in stores and going to the sale rack because that's what we could afford, you know. And we see kids come in from middle school, high school, all ages come to shop at our store, and we make sure that accessibility is a huge thing for us. Mm-hmm. So we always have a sale rack. We always have lower tier items.
Yeah.
But as far as determining costs, we just, you know, make sure that we can make another item, another two pieces for one item that we sold, yeah. you know, so we never go too crazy with pricing.
All right.
It makes sense.
That's good. That's good. You got to be approachable. Right. We got to have the high end and low end. Yeah.
And then the quality is also
inclusive and exclusive maybe at the same time,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's what fashion's all about. Mm-hmm. It's creativity, but, you know, you're driving a business each and
exactly.
every day.
Exactly, yeah.
What, speaking of business, you know, what's something about the fashion business that maybe us layman customers just don't understand?
I think the fashion business is a lot more reactive than people think, you know.
Ah, interesting.
I mentioned cycles earlier. You know, everything goes in cycles. You'll see the 70s fashion come back. I'm wearing bell bottoms right now,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And some platform
things come
loafers,
around and
you know?
People follow other brands
exactly.
and follow trends.
Exactly. Yeah. But all it takes is for one influential person to put something different on and shift the direction of where fashion and the trends are going, yeah. you know. And as a small business like us, we can't always hop on what's cool, you know, like a fast fashion business would
right.
do, you know, which is also a big part of, you know, where fashion is going now. So as a small business, I think one of the things that people don't know is just that we're trying our best to, you know, feed the people yeah. and also stay creative with what we're putting out,
yeah.
you know.
What are some of the unique looks that we can find at Summerfest this year from Unfinished Legacy?
You can find a Summerfest Unfinished Legacy collaboration for 2025
All
at our
right.
booth.
Very good.
Yep.
All right, and where are you located on the grounds?
The Shop Local Market booth right between the Generac and the Miller Lite Oasis stage.
Very good. Gene Tate from Unfinished Legacy. Gene, I appreciate your time.
Thanks,
all the best
Jeff.
The rest of the summer.
Absolutely. Peace and love, y'all.
Yes.